to read verses 1 through 6. We've been looking in a series called Who I Am. We're looking at who we are in Christ. What is your identity? When you think about yourself, when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, who are you? Okay, we really need to have that understanding to put into our life who we are in Christ. And I think we can go to the next one. In Philippians 1, 1 through 6, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And today our verse that we're going to be looking at says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I heard of a story of a mother who had her own son, but she brought into their home a boy who was crippled, a hunchback. And the mother said to her own son, she said, son, you must be careful when you talk to this boy who is now under our roof. You must be very sensitive in the areas where he is hurting. One day, the son and the boy that they had adopted and brought into their home were playing together. And the little boy said this that she overheard. The boy said to him, do you know what's on your back? Quickly, the little hunchback became embarrassed and wanted to hide. But the boy said, it is the box which your wings are. And someday God is going to cut it open and you will fly away. Today, when we look at this picture, part of us can associate. You know, whether we're the most beautiful or the least beautiful, the most intelligent, or maybe we don't have a lot of intelligence, maybe a lot of talent, but some of us are not as talented. We still feel lacking. Imperfect, hunchback. For some of us, there has been hurt, abuse, pain, or rejection. We have felt hunchback. For some of us, we were the ones who were rejecting and causing pain to others. And we walk around with a backpack weighing us down day after day, remembering our sins and failures. And in that, we are hunchbacked. Many of us, day after day, we wonder, does anyone want me? Does anyone love me? Can anyone use me? And today, we want to declare what Paul declares over that church in Philippi. I am confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until that day of Jesus Christ. Can we say this? Do we believe this? Is this our identity? Can we put our name in here? In Christ, I am confident of this. He who began a good work in me, Kurtz, will perfect it. Today I'd like to look at this phrase, will perfect it, or will carry it unto completion. We do a little thing in seminary and stuff where we look up a Greek word and then you're able to follow other aspects of it throughout the Old or New Testament. And this Greek word has a sense of perfection or completion. Teleo. It means to finish or bring to the end, to accomplish, to complete, to mature, to fulfill something that has been spoken or commanded to us. In Greek, it has a connotation that we do something or someone does something in such a way that it is perfect or complete. It has a time aspect to it that has the meaning of end. We get this when we hear when Jesus says of himself, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, I am the beginning and the teleion, the end." And so in Philippians 1:6, Jesus is saying that the good work that I began in you, I will fully complete. I will fully make perfect until that end day when Jesus comes. Do we believe that? Is that our identity? Now, I'd like to take a little bit of a teleion or teleos scripture journey and look at some of the different scriptures that come up. As we look at our Philippians 1:6, we look at the verse 1 and we see that Paul and Timothy are writing to who? When we look at our Bible, it says to all the saints in Jesus Christ in Philippi. And we hear that word saints and we're a little bit confused. What are they talking about? Someone like Mother Teresa? But really, this word just has a connection with holiness. The Greek word agios. In the Old Testament, it's something that is someone is unique or set apart. And so what he's saying to the saints at Philippi, those who are holy in Christ Jesus are set apart. As Paul is writing, I'm sure he's remembering his Pharisee days when he had to study the Pentateuch, when he had to study the book of Leviticus, and over comes up this word, be holy as I am holy. Some examples, Leviticus 11:45, therefore be holy as I am holy. Leviticus 19:2, be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. Leviticus 20:26, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. And I've set you apart for the nations. And then I'm sure Paul remembered some of the stories of Jesus. When Jesus took this very phrase, be holy as I am holy, and he switched it and he transformed it. So when we come to Matthew 5:48, it says instead of be holy, therefore, as your heavenly Father is holy, it says be teleion, perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In fact, for Paul, this was one of his number one goals or desires for the church. You could say for you and I, those descendants. Colossians 1:28. He says that we proclaim Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man teleion. About this perfection, us. I think about me. A little bit comes to my mind. Is this a joke? A saint? A holy man? Do they really know what I did when I was in high school? In college? How is this possible? The question or the statement, be perfect as I your God and perfect. Well, the fact is, the truth is, and this is what we're trying to establish in our identity, is in the self, it's impossible. But in Christ, all things are possible. So again, we have the very truth, the key that
unlocks the door. That in Christ, there is this possibility of this completing, this perfecting, becoming more like Christ until that end day. When we say in Christ, there's a sense of being in the Spirit of the living God. And this, again, as we go on our Teleano journey, we come to Galatians 5:16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not teleeste, carry out, complete, perfect the desire of the flesh." The dichotomy right here is very clear. That in the flesh, in oneself, in the old person, we will carry out and complete and perfect sin and selfishness. That is our fallen state. That is our natural desire. Get all I can all I get, and sit on the lid. My goal is numero uno, me. It's all about me. But on the other hand, is in Christ, in His Spirit. Now there's some power in me, something different in my being, in my core, that I want to carry out and complete and perfect Christ, Him in me. My goal has changed. Now, a lot of times we look at ourselves and, man, I got a lot of habits and hurts and hang-ups. How can this be possible? And the shocker is that Christ works through your imperfections, not your perfections. Let me say this again, because some of us do not get it. Christ does not work through your perfections. He works through your imperfections. This is how He wants to glorify your name. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And He," or Jesus, "has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.' For power is teletai, perfected, completed, in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." You know, we got it wrong. We continue to think that Jesus' power is completed in our perfection. But if in our imperfections, our weaknesses, our hunchback, that He says, "I am ready to work, and I'm going to display and complete and perfect my power in you." The cross is the best example of this. The cross is a symbol of death. Many look at it, Christ upon it, of weakness, of imperfection. But it is here on the cross that God's power is made perfect. John 19:30. "When He had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished. It is completed. It is perfected.' And He bowed His head and gave up." In another verse here in Luke 23:46, it says, "Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" From this verse and that, what is Jesus doing on that cross? In one word, He's surrendering. Surrendering. And again, in our SEA group we had on Thursday, we talked about this word, surrender. It has the understanding of being weak, surrender that God's will is finished, completed, perfected? Do we understand that through our own surrender to Jesus, that God's will in our life is perfected, is completed? Or do we continue to try to control, to use our own abilities to bring about God's will to be perfected? A question for you and I. Have you said lately, Lord Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit. I surrender it all to you. And through that surrender, Jesus is ready and willing to complete and perfect His power in you. We have to admit, a lot of our being, and many of us, are still trying to be perfect. We still believe that through our perfect life, God is going to receive all of the glory. But the truth is, God works through our weaknesses and our imperfection. And people no longer look at us, but they say, man, that guy was screwed up. Something must have happened other than him looking deeper inside. There must have been something from the outside that came into the inside and made a difference. And so we proclaim Jesus. Lord, I surrender to you. I give you my hunchback, my imperfection. I surrender it to you. Use it. Glorify your name. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about working with people. How do you work with people? Let's look again at Philippians 1:6. And we ask the question, what was Paul confident of? Who was Paul confident in? That person? Me? You? The abilities we have? Our experience? Our knowledge? Was that what Paul's confident in? No. If Paul is confident in this, that Jesus, who began that good work, that Jesus is the one that will carry it unto completion. It is Jesus, the one who will perfect it. And so when you're working with people, are you confident in their abilities? Are you confident in all that they'll do? Are you seeing it from the perspective of God and confident in Jesus Christ, who is working in them and through them to bring them to where they need to be? You know, Paul sees people very much in Christ, not in their sin. Them as saints, as holy people, as set apart. He doesn't see them necessarily just as they are now. He sees them as they will be. He doesn't see all of their problems and pains and hurts. He sees more than that. He sees the potential and the possibilities. Ever been a mother and father, you must have a little bit of a glimpse and understanding of the eyes of Jesus Because if that child comes out and that's all they are, oh man, there's not much hope. But we see the potential and what they can become. And why do we not, when we look at others, see the same thing? The very last phrase of this Philippians 1:6 is so important. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Has that day come yet? Not that we know of. Or part of it has, but it is continuing on. And so we still are waiting for the perfecting work to be done. It is called a progress. You and I, in Christ working in our life, are in progress. In a big theological word, we use the word sanctification. Becoming more like Christ, building that character. We are under construction. Malon and I were able to be blessed to go up to Charlotte to see the Billy Graham Library. There's one person buried there right now. That's Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham. And what does it say on her tombstone? Words of great wisdom. She said, this is what I want written on top. Instruction complete. Thank you for your patience. This woman understood this verse. Do we? Week after week, I open my emails and I get emails from people talking about other people. That they did not meet my expectations. I understand this. But from this perspective, these people do not see the good work that Jesus has started. They see the problem they had on that day. They do not trust in the ability of Jesus to bring that person to completion and perfection. They trust in that person's ability to succeed or fail. Very much of a temporal, fleshly perspective. Do we have an eternal perspective? What is your theory on working with people? This is some of my theory. It's very simple. Maybe it's too simple. Give the people training, instruction. This is in the church. Give them a lot of encouragement. My dad said to me one time, Kurt, you don't need to discourage yourself. Other people will do it for you. Yes. Next, give them challenges. And give them opportunities to succeed and to fail. Allow them to fail. The problem with us in the church is so many times we don't give people an opportunity to fail. We don't have the perspective that Jesus will still use them. Alongside them, we pick them up, and we do it all again. We train, we encourage, we give them a challenge, a chance, and an opportunity. We have confidence in Jesus. Confidence that He began a good work. Confidence that He will carry it unto completion. For if we do not have confidence in Him, and our confidence is only in that person, there is not much hope for us, or them, or our relationship. Some things that I've sort of learned in my short life. If I failed and Jesus gave me grace, therefore, if they fail, I need to give them grace. Learn that God never gives up on me, even though sometimes it feels like it. That it's not about falling down in the mistakes, it's about how we get back up. And a lot of times people don't need us to point out all of their failures. They understand them. It's our job to give them guidance. Also learn that many are very quick to judge, but few are willing to come to the front and be the one who leads and could be judged. And in this we must understand what the Lord has taught me, that we are all in this together. And we need one another. We can't do it alone. When I was about 8 or 10 years old, we lived on a farm. The farm was pretty good. The land, little part property where the yard was and everything, about 3 or 4 acres. And way in the back corner of this little plot was a bunch of poles, telephone poles, because my dad was a lineman. And one day I was out there playing around, and on these telephone poles, I discovered 3 or 4 watermelons just sitting on top of these poles. And I thought to myself, that is so strange. How did these things get here? They had somehow worked their vines up through the poles around them and through the adversity that was before them, and there they sat. Well, after going and reporting my dad what I, as a little boy, then found, he told me how they had gotten there the whole year, the whole long time of the year before. That we, as children, after dinner, needed to take the dinner scraps, garbage, and carry it to the farthest place away from the house and throw it. One of those areas for me was those telephone pole areas. Toss it back behind there. And a year later, here were these watermelons. They came from dinner scraps, from garbage. This speaks so much to our own life. That God begins a good work in us and we don't even understand. And many times He begins that good work, and what we see and understand is dinner scraps. This garbage or this worthlessness. But He is working, and He is completing, and He is perfecting. And the fact is, always ready to use us to glorify His name. Paul declares, Jesus declares, I'm confident of this, that I, who began a good work in you, will carry it unto completion. I will perfect it. Is that our identity? Is that how we see others in our church? Let's pray. Father God, first of all, I'd like to ask forgiveness, Lord, for when many times I've looked upon people about who they are and all that they've accomplished.